The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor,
and your drinkers, JC.
All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
Okay.
Hey,
are you having an opening, JC?
Yes.
All right.
Well, the opening today was supposed to be some facial expressions, but if you only are listening, you can't see the mask I'm wearing. Woo! Footy Prime! The ghost of MLS's former ratings haunting us at the moment. We'll get to that later. Welcome to Footy Prime, the Halloween edition. Trick or treat. Don't eat apples with
razor blades in them.
Don't do that.
Or do.
Don't do that. It is Footy Prime. This is Wonger speaking, welcoming Asa Remen off from the West Coast. And Craig Forrest is in the house. JC, as you just heard. It's Halloween. And there's lots going on. And I'm not sure where the Vancouver Whitecaps fit in this lineup of Blue Jays, Halloween, and perhaps a Game 7 Blue Jays game on the same night they're having their playoff match. What is the timing like out there, Asa?
Just as far as...
If the Jays are going, what time are the Whitecaps going?
Caps kick off at 6:30, and there's not going to be a Game 7, right? So we don't have to worry about that.
Smooth move.
Well, you're right. I guess that's a prediction. Ace has just made his prediction.
5 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, so yeah, but that's not happening. So don't have to worry about it.
Good. Then we don't have to worry about it, Whitecaps fans. You won't be pulled between your two alliances. But what's the vibe out there, both on the Blue Jays and the Whitecaps? Everyone excited?
Yeah. Jays crazy for sure. I'm seeing a lot more Jays hats. Picked up the kids and watched some of their high school volleyball or elementary school volleyball yesterday. And the parents were all wearing their Jays hats and then wanting to talk Jays, obviously. And then tired as well because still recovering from the late night. Not as late as it was for everyone in Toronto. The extra innings game, but yeah, still feeling it and still cheering on the Jays and absolutely loving it. When it comes to the Whitecaps, yeah, a lot of buzz as well. It's been a special season for the Vancouver Whitecaps, and no shortage of storylines as well. It seems like every week there's a new thing to follow that's interesting and exciting. So it's been awesome, and can't wait for game two for the Vancouver Whitecaps against FC Dallas and for the dream to continue as well. I think it could be a very good postseason for the Caps, especially after what we saw in game one against Dallas.
Well, why don't you and Craig get into it? What did you like? What were you worried about? Let's go with that one first. What did you like?
Yeah, I liked how well they played. Perfect performance, I think, when you look at it. Offensively did what they needed to do, defensively. Clean sheet, didn't allow a shot. So probably a perfect game, 3-0 win for the Vancouver Whitecaps. What I didn't like, or what I was concerned with, I guess, going into the game is something that we've seen teams do, including FC Dallas on decision day, is the early ball over the top, trying to play it over the top early and often and take your chances in these quick counterattacking plays. And it looked like Dallas was trying to do that early on. The Whitecaps defended it quite well. And we're able to snuff those out quickly. So that was something that I was keeping an eye on in that first game. I anticipate it's going to be probably a similar strategy heading into game two. I think that's probably still the best way to take on the Vancouver Whitecaps. It's so hard to win the possession game against the Whitecaps. So you take your chances and these opportunities to off the turnover, quickly over the top, get in a foot race maybe and see what you can create in those instances. So we'll see how this next one plays out. But yeah, if going back to game one, perfect performance everywhere on the pitch for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
What was the adjustment, Zaysa, from the game when they played Dallas in about a week before, week and a half, was it something like that, in the league and had their problems? So what was the adjustments that were made that made it so dominant in this first playoff game?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, and, you know, it's, I guess, funny to talk about now is the fact that they were able to keep 11 men on the field. Like, that early red card to Matias Laborda flipped that game. The Whitecaps still tried to control play, dictate everything in the attack, but you could see in certain instances they were short a man. They just didn't have that extra outlet. They didn't have that player that was making that run in behind and breaking the lines. So having 11 players on the pitch was probably the biggest difference, because the game plan was similar. They wanted to keep the ball. They wanted to create opportunities for themselves in the attacking third and then be a little bit more clinical. And, another thing that was really important for the Caps in this game was Daniel Rios getting that goal, that elusive first goal, ends up being the game winner. We've seen in these games, Craig, where you can control play, you can be the better team, but all it takes is one kind of ball over the top, one chance for the opposition, and it's flipped, and then you're chasing it. And they got that goal. It took a little while. Emmanuel Sabi had so many chances in the early going in the first half, could not beat Colodi, the keeper for Dallas. And then Daniel Rios gets one chipped into him from Ali Ahmed on the left side and just powers it home. And they needed that goal because it gave them that confidence, obviously, and it took some of the pressure off as well. You get that first goal, you can build off of it, and they certainly did in the second half.
How's Tristan Blackman doing? Because obviously he's an important figure this season. And after this game, potentially on the weekend, there could be nearly a 3-week gap. So how do they play that with him?
Plus, yeah. Defender of the Year award, right?
Yes.
He's up for that as well.
Wonger, yeah, wins Defender of the Year this past week. MLS Defender of the Year, fully deserves it as well. And it was great to talk to him about it, hear from him, and hear him say that he did want this. Like, it wasn't necessarily a goal coming into the season, but once the Whitecaps were having the season that they were having, so dominant defensively, leading the league in clean sheets, he had a lot to do with it. And he's had the Whitecaps have had different players kind of step up and move into these different roles. Ronko Veselinovic done for this season. Other players stepping up. And Blackman, for the most part, has done an incredible job on the defensive side of things and then offensively as well. He chips in with goals. And then in the buildup, he's so good with these long diagonals and really helping the Whitecaps break out of their own end. So fully deserved to win this award, and so happy for him because he's been such an important part for the Vancouver Whitecaps this year and one of the many players who's kind of stepped up, elevated their game this season.
Is there a monetary prize to that?
Yeah, you'll get some extras. Is there? For sure, right? Yeah. There's some bonuses that come with it. I don't know the details. I don't think he'll talk to me about it, but maybe.
Okay. Well, ultimately, if there's a podcaster of the day, we're going to have to start doling out prizes on like maybe monetary prizes, but probably old Halloween prizes.
It was like podcast, like Footy Prime guest of the
yes, guest of the week. Guest of the week.
And you're is it retroactive? Can I go back and be like,
No. It's starting now, but this week you're competing with Carl Lang.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
That's tough.
You were at training yesterday, so Thursday. What did you hear? What did you see? Where does White? How's the team feeling?
Yeah, let's start with the injuries. Still no Brian White at training, dealing with this hamstring. I think they're going to be extra cautious with Brian White. For Ryan Gauld, you can tell that he's still dealing with this knee injury to some degree. Comes off the bench in the last game. I think that's going to be the role for him, and we've mentioned this before. I think he's going to be sort of a super sub, and how terrifying is that for defenders who've been having to deal with Ali Ahmed or Jaden Nelson or Emmanuel Sabi, whoever's starting on the wing, and then you have Ryan Gauld coming in for the last 20 minutes, an absolute nightmare for the opposition. So I think that he'll relish this role. This will be his role probably for the rest of the playoffs, because even throughout the week when it comes to training, he's limiting his minutes and kind of resting, recovering from the toll that the weekend would have taken. So it's hard to see him really building up the fitness that's required to go a full 90 minutes, but still such an important part to coming off the bench and gives them so much when he does come into these games. So that's exciting for the Caps. And then when it comes to Tristan Blackman, he's been involved. He looks like he's pretty close to being good to go here. I expect that he'll be available on the bench for the Vancouver Whitecaps on Saturday. And then if they get through this one and they earn themselves basically 3 weeks between games, he should be ready to go for the next round to if they need him. And yeah, they will obviously need him. So good to see that Blackman's closer to returning. If this was an elimination game, I wonder if Blackman would maybe be pushed into the starting 11 to give you an idea of how ready he is at this stage.
Thomas Muller's contract, we know what he's making now in Vancouver. It's interesting. And what is it, $1.4 million for this season, and then an option of potentially $6 million in the future? Have you heard whether they'll take that option? I mean, I guess it's a bit early to tell right now, is it?
Yeah, but I think when you look at what he has, two parts to this, right? When it comes to Thomas Muller, what he means to them on the pitch, and he is the best player on the field. Obviously, we're in the captain's armband, as you'd expect coming into this, but you didn't know sort of how that would fit still. And he admitted that as well coming into this situation that, yeah, he obviously believes in himself and has this incredible resume. He's done absolutely everything, won everything in the game, but you still don't know how it would fit. Well, it's working out so well on the pitch, and he is the best player and one of the best players in the league, obviously. And then off the pitch, everything that he's done as far as like getting eyeballs on the brand, on the team, and butts in seats, he's delivering there as well. So it's hard to see them not picking up that option because he's bringing so much to the table for the Vancouver Whitecaps. And then there's another part of this, and we've talked about this as well, what he means to the rest of the team as far as developing players like Ali Ahmed, Sebastian Berhalter, or Jaden Nelson. He's had such an influence on these kids as well. So, I think it's paying off, and I'd expect him to be here next year.
You talked about a couple of weeks ago, you talked about the players hanging out, relaxed, playing silly games at the end, playing keep picky uppy or kicking the ball in the hoop. What was training like? Are they loosey goosey? Are they confident? Where are they at?
Good question, Wanger. So you still have elements of that after training, before training, but the intensity, it feels like playoff football right now. You could see it in the possession drills and then sort of these like full field scrimmages, 11v11. Setups, they're intense. And actually, Edgar Ocampo did not participate in training on Thursday because he picked up a knock on Wednesday. I wasn't there, but basically coming together. So he was sitting out Thursday's training. And I think that gives you an idea of how intense these sessions are. There's competition for some spots, especially on the attacking end of things. And I think they're hungry for that, obviously wanting to get minutes in the playoffs here, and just understanding, I think, what's at stake here and how important these games are. And going back to Thomas Muller, I think he's the type of player that makes sure everyone is performing and playing at that high level, not just on game day, but at training as well. So that's been noticeable these last couple weeks.
It'll be interesting in the time off, if they get through Dallas, what the intensity will be and how they, Al Sorensen, goes about training over that period, whether they gives him several days off, whether it eases him into it. But that is an exceptionally long time in between matches.
Yeah, don't want to get ahead of ourselves here because still have to get the job done on Saturday. But if the Whitecaps do win, get the
unbiased,
result on Saturday,
unbiased Acer Roman.
That's right. If they do get it done, it'll be 3 weeks, to your point, Craig. And Jesper Sorensen talked about them having 3 weeks before the Philadelphia game. So they've been in this situation before, knowing that like what they have to do. And Jesper said that they have a plan. They know what they want to do. If this plays out, if they do end up having 3 weeks between games, they know. They haven't told the players what's happening yet, but it's nice to know, I guess, that the Caps have an understanding, have been here before as well, if they have some extra time to prepare between games. I think for the most part, you get these 3 weeks. If it ends up happening, you get some players rested and ready for the Western semifinal.
Well, we're not the first people to talk about the MLS break. With international break, these playoffs, I know Mueller was having some difficulty understanding. Sun was too, as far as Carl Lang was concerned, about what do you mean? We only play two now? I mean, we're playing best out of three. Then we're playing, what, one knock? What? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Like, it's confusing. It's confusing to me.
Yeah. Then once you know it, you figure it out, and then you go forward. I think Thomas Muller kind of understood it after once it was explained how, yeah, you're right. After this first round, then it's single elimination. The Whitecaps earned a home game in the next round at least. I think that that's very important as well. So, I think it's quirky. It's different the first time you go through.
Do you like it?
And then it's,
do you like it?
No, that's a good question. Do I like it? I understand.
Well, I mean, we're here.
I understand it, fellas. I understand. But we were talking about that everyone that gets into the playoffs gets a home game. I understand the value in that.
You could do that with the aggregate. You could go la aggregate everyone two games going to the final.
And keep that going into the final. Yeah, right. So you'd have two more rounds of two games and going the aggregate route. Yes, that's adding games though. I'm trying to do the math on how many extra games that would be. Maybe just one extra game. If you eliminate the third game, the potential third game, and then you add a second game and a second game. So it'd be, I guess one extra game. And that I think that I would prefer that. Yeah. You got me, Wonger. I would prefer that.
You don't have to defend the league all the time.
No, you're right.
This would improve it, I think. I think that's what we're going to be lobbying for.
Yeah, because then you get more home games.
Yes, at least on Footy Prime West Coast. Footy Prime Central, we might not talk about it, but Footy Prime West Coast, we will.
You got Footy Prime Central? Look at you guys.
Wow, that's growing. Us. That's just, this. I'm just making it up. I just make shit up as we go.
I thought it was like a Footy Prime Central. I thought that's like, is that Manitoba, Saskatchewan?
Oh, that's right.
You get your valor.
That. Yeah. It's a little harder. That's a little harder for us. There's been this year, we were talking about it earlier, was MLS had a little dip in attendance. I think 500,000. I think it was from close to 12 to 11.5 million. But Vancouver with Thomas Muller up, and it seems like the fan base has embraced the Whitecaps.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up because we've seen attendance for the Whitecaps. It's been really good all season long. And I don't think it has anything to do with the hashtag Pack the Place campaign that I started early in the year.
this guy here.
That's right. But at the same time, the Whitecaps has done a very good job of putting a great product on the field. First and foremost, I think that's the most important thing. And Jesper Sorensen obviously deserves all the credit there because this team's been performing at an exceptional level, setting club records. The experience, I think, the Southsiders and all the loyal fans who are coming out and checking it out, I think they're enjoying it as well. So it's been fun. And I actually went back and watched all the goals the Whitecaps have scored. And you can see in the stands and the highlights there are more and more fans. Even going back early in the season, you could see these pockets, these empty pockets. And I thought it was interesting and kind of I was taken aback by it because we've seen packed attendances for the last couple months, basically since Thomas Muller's arrived. So there were some pockets earlier, some empty seats, not the case anymore, which is exactly what the Whitecaps wanted going into this playoff run. And they opened up the upper bowl for game one. I expect it to be open again, obviously, whenever they play again and even more full. 32,000 and changed the last game. I think they'll hit 40 plus for the next one, hopefully 50, which is what we saw for the Miami match when Messi was in town. Mm-hmm. Not an MLS game, but packed crowd and what an atmosphere. Yeah, Forrest, we were at that game watching that from the booth. It was amazing. I could not believe it. It was just an awesome atmosphere, great experience.
It was amazing. Absolutely. Do you think that it's a change, guys, with the whole landscape of media and where it's going and maybe the lack of exposure locally to these MLS teams that is potentially the reason why there's been a dip?
But like with the Apple deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've brought this up. I've chatted with the club about this because I do feel like there's maybe a slight disconnect locally, regionally for some of these clubs. And we're seeing it in other areas as well. Max Bredos with in LA, closely connected to LAFC, obviously. He kind of talked about how, and he's mentioned this, and they have a deal with one of the local TV stations where they re-air the games. And I think that that's really interesting and great for their team locally, because you do need that local connection with TV networks, radio. We've got it with CKNW, and that's awesome. But I think that there's a lot of value in that, whether it's TSN, Sportsnet, whatever. TSN has some of the MLS games, obviously, but that close connection can do so much, not just for airing the games, but I think the storytelling, which is so important for this sport, but all sports, really. I think you want to see the Ali Ahmed story, the Jaden Nelson story, when it comes to some of our bright young Canadian stars. And that's one thing that it's great on social media. We're seeing the impact that it has, some of these posts on Instagram or Twitter, but it'd be nice to get on Sportsnet more, obviously TSN, Global CTV here locally, all that sort of stuff makes a difference, obviously.
I would argue, Asa, what we could do is I'm putting together a sales deck in my head. We take your and Colin's call. We get the video from MLS and we put it on Footy Prime's YouTube channel.
Let's do this.
And it's and we do a rev share of all 18 people who watch. But it's an exciting, it's an exciting watch because you and Colin. So one more time, you get to choose voiceover in Apple, like the announcers in Apple, correct? Yeah. And Asa and Colin are available when you're watching the Whitecaps.
Yeah, for the home games, you get to pick up the home radio feed for any of the games. So this weekend, you can get the FC Dallas home radio feed, which is awesome. And for the games like game one of this series, you could have listened to our call as well. And I love that idea. Yeah, I'll send you some of the highlights. Let's get this going. Let's just put it up anyway, guys.
See, yeah, we'll just get some emails, strongly worded emails, fine. And YouTube It'll take us down, just stuff like that. Before you go, it is Halloween, so I'm going to go first. Your favorite candy, other than the man in the van. So I'm going to just tell you my Crispy Crunch. You know, the Crispy Crunch and Reese's peanut butter cup.
That's the cup or the pieces?
No, the Reese's cup. Peanut butter cup. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's number one.
So and when two. It comes to the, I feel like the Halloween candy has changed so much that even the Reese's peanut butter cup, that used to be one of my go-to like favorites, but I feel like it used to be a proper like Reese's peanut butter cup. Now it's just like small weird thing that's like mostly chocolate. The ratio is all wrong.
It's an absolute
mess.
You're
so
right.
So I don't care for that. That's like just plummeted down the rankings for me.
No, you know what? I like your anger towards it because I felt the same way. I feel the same way. It's getting too small and the ratio's off.
Exactly. They've wrecked it.
Yeah.
So Coffee Crisp has always been one of my
Coffee
favorites.
Coffee Crisp. You'd love it at my house right now.
Chance.
All right.
In the goodie bag for the kids. If that goes, it has to filter through me because you got to check for razor blades, which has always been parrot propaganda, by the way. I don't think there's ever been a razor blade found in an apple or anything, but it's a pretty good bit if you're saying there could be razor blades and syringes in your
Find stuff. A razor blade.
Sift through all your candy, kids. And then whatever you get. I got to check through all of this stuff. Brilliant. Whoever came up with it, I'm into it.
We're vigilant.
Coffee Crisp is number one.
Okay,
for me.
So Coffee Crisp, Craiger.
What's your favorite scary movie?
No, I want to know your candy. First. How are you jumping off this? You love sweets. What's your candy that you wanted?
I do.
Which is the one that you went back for? You go. I'm going to that house again.
Oh well, usually the ones that gave you the full bar.
Full bar.
Yeah, but what was the bar? I want specifics.
Snickers.
Oh, that's good. Actually, the mini Snickers, it's like a junior Whopper. It's just as good, just smaller.
I like that.
Yeah. JC?
Yeah.
I liked, probably a lot of people out there, same sort of thing. I liked a big spoonful of gravy. You know, when you go to old man Sedgwick's house and he knocks at the door and say, what? And he's not wearing any pants, right?
Yes.
You're like, well, that's interesting. Yes. And then he just would take his ladle and he'd put a big spoon of gravy right into your pillowcase. That was my favorite for sure.
Old man Sedgwick and his nephew Bart, who would drive around in the teardrop van.
Well, he was never home on Halloween. He was out doing stuff.
with razor blades. Last thing to say, where can we find you, Asa, this weekend? When's the call? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pregame show kicks off at 6 o'clock Pacific time. And yeah, it should be another fun pregame show, myself and Colin, plus guests. And you can find me at Asa Raymond on X, also on Instagram at Asa Ray. And yeah, some good stuff there. Twitter's been really fun recently. I love hate with the socials, but it's been a lot of love right now, which is fun.
That's amazing. Well, thanks so much for joining us on Footy Prime West Coast. Everybody, like and subscribe. You'll see it over Craig Forrest's face. We always want to hear from you. Leave some comments. Tell us what to talk about. Tell us, you know, how creepy JC was with that mask. And above all else, go Jays. Go Jays, go Caps, and go Halloween. Halloween!
C'est l'Halloween.
C'est l'Halloween. Hey!
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.